Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday. It's November the 4th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Julie P., The 12 Traditions, Mary P. The readers of the text are Tanya P., Anne SCH, and Dana P. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 56, the fifth paragraph down at the bottom of the page. Thus was our friend's cornerstone fixed in place through one paragraph ending with God had restored his sanity. And the comments will be on that one paragraph only. The share ID for Sunday, November 3rd. There is no share ID due to a technical glitch. Sorry about that, guys. And on Monday, November the 4th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,883. That's 21883. And our newcomer greeter is Chanel T. And our announcements person is Betsy H. And thank you all for your service. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Julie P. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. My name is Julie P. I am a recovering compulsive overeater currently in Minnesota. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service. I pass.
Thank you very much, Julie P. And I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Mary P. in Texas. These are the 12 Traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, the loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 56 in the chapter We Agnostics, the 5th paragraph down at the bottom of the page. Thus was our friend's cornerstone fixed in place, reading through one paragraph, ending at the top of the page of 57, God had restored us his sanity. The comments are on that one paragraph only, and I will now ask Tanya P. to get us started. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan. Thus was our friend's cornerstone fixed in place. No later vicissitude had shaken it. His alcoholic problem was taken away. That very night, years ago, it disappeared. Save for a few brief moments of temptation, the thought of drink has never returned, and at such times a great revulsion has risen up in him. Seemingly, he could not drink even if he would. God had restored his sanity. Okay, so, well, I think he's a really lucky guy. He was given the firm footing as he stepped from bridge to shore, and he was given an immovable cornerstone. A cornerstone joins one wall to another in a foundation, and that seems to me like, that those two walls of self and God coming together. He was lucky that his problem was completely removed. And while he experiences some brief temptation, he never indulges again. Well, this hasn't been my experience at all. I don't count myself any less lucky, though. than this guy who fell out of his bed onto his knees. I've been given a slower connection, and it has manifested itself through meetings, through prayer, through outreach, through sponsorship, through being a sponsee, through working the steps, and through this book that we read every day. And actually, you know, simple trial and error, what works and what doesn't work. Something works today and sometimes it doesn't work tomorrow. And the bottom line for me is I'm not alone. And God comes to me in many ways. Sincerely thank all of you on the line who have played a part in my recovery, connecting me with my higher power over and over again. So if you are a newcomer, or if you relapsed at Halloween, or if your dad got really sick and you decided that it wasn't, you couldn't do it without food, which is one of the things that happened to me, one of those vicissitudes, don't despair, because you haven't had that white light experience. It comes to us gradually, some of us, as we seek and seek and seek. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop reaching out. Remember that all of this is just about letting go and letting God. Thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Tanya P., for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on either Thursday or Friday's meeting, please wait until tomorrow. And I will now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this topic. Wendy B.
Jody E.
Christy D.
Christy.
Joan Marie M.
Christy, wait a minute. Christy. Jody E. Christy E. I can't get. Okay, Joan Marie M. I got you, Joan Marie.
Thank you.
D, I think it was. All right, so I have Wendy B., Jody E., Christy D., Joan Marie M. Anybody else want to join this lineup?
Janice K.
Susan P. from Georgia.
All right, let's stop there. So I have Wendy B., Jody E., Christy D., Joan Marie M., Janice K., and Susan P. Would everybody please mute their phone except Wendy B.? Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I like this paragraph. You know, so his cornerstone was his new relationship with a loving, all-powerful God. And I looked up vicissitude, and it means regular changes, like day and night, the changing of seasons, or the ups and downs of life. And so his new faith, you know, hasn't wavered during trials and hard times. He was set free from the obsession to drink, just like we can be set free from our obsession to overeat. You know, he was human, and he had a few moments of temptation, but during those times, he experienced revulsion, or the ability to draw back from the temptation, and the ability to turn and flee. And this is the power that God gives us. You know, he provides a way of escape. He gives us the ability to pause when we're tempted and ask for help. And you know, he brings to mind, you know, the damage that excess food did to us, you know, to give us strength to resist it. And, you know, and he provides other safe ways to find comfort and relaxation. And he gives us this program and each other to give us support and encouragement, you know, and a plan of action, you know, that works. And, you know, and we are restored to sanity when we no longer do the things that cause us so much harm. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
All right. Thank you very much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Up next is Jody E., followed by Christy D. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. So, yes, this man was lucky. he was lucky to be approached by people in whom the problem had been solved. And so are we lucky. So are we lucky to have found this meeting, which is so full of people in whom the problem has been solved and who are here to carry this message to those who are still suffering. So that's what we're trying to do. And this book helps us to do that so beautifully. For years, I struggled in Overeaters Anonymous, for many years, because either I was not willing to put down my alcoholic foods, or I lacked the support in my own fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous. When I first came in, I didn't know anybody in OA who was actually abstaining from anything. Maybe they were, but the ones who were vocal were not. And they just said, steps and the food will take care of itself. Well, that wasn't the case for me. I tried that. I've tried that many times, and it simply doesn't work for me. What does work is to put down my alcoholic foods and ingredients and behaviors and to then work the steps. And by working the steps and maintaining my step work on a daily basis, I stay in fit spiritual condition. And it's the fitness of my spiritual condition that determines the degree of my neutrality. Sometimes the neutrality is not as solid as other times. And then I have to ask myself, what am I not doing to be in fit spiritual condition? Am I reaching out? Am I sponsoring? Am I going to meetings? Am I giving service? Am I speaking at meetings? All of those things are necessary, in my experience, to achieve these promises of neutrality and of a better life. And just to the extent that I do, as I think God would have me, and humbly rely on Him, and am I able to match calamity with serenity? So that's what I'm doing today by the grace of God. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E. from California. Up next is Christy D., followed by Joan Marie M. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, this is Christy D., grateful, recovering, bulimic, and anorexic from Oregon. And I think what struck me as I was listening to this story is just the power of our fellowship and the power of our service and sharing our experience, strength, and hope with others. And I think when I first came in, I took that really literally. Like when people shared their stories, I felt like this had to be my experience, you know? And, I didn't have the experience where it was like all of a sudden the temptation was lifted and I never, you know, I had that repulsion. You know, there's certainly been times that I think that it has been that way. And, you know, I did feel like this last Halloween, I, you know, really marveled at where I'd come in my recovery, where I did feel like that, you know, that compulsion was lifted. And that just is like a miracle by the grace of God. But I think one of the things I learned is what is the common thread between every story is it wasn't that person's will to overcome this disease. Like in every single case, it was like the higher power who had to lift it. And everybody has their own journey with their higher power to abstinence. And it looks different and it's personal. And that's the one thing that I found really powerful about hearing, you know, different people's experience, strength, and hope is you also see that too. You see everybody's journey being different. And I think that was like when I stopped looking at recovery like this script that I followed or this like recipe that I followed instead as this really like personal spiritual journey with my higher power and my higher power guiding what my recovery needed to look like for me. Then I could let go of this idea of a perfect recovery or like, you know, this, you know, recovery in my head that somebody else had that I felt like I should have too, and not to compare recoveries. And so, you know, one appreciate the power of, you know, recovery in our community and hearing that, you know, those reminders of just the absolute chaos of being in the disease and the many different unique and powerful journeys that people have taken with their higher power, and how important it is for us to continue to share that, because the one thing I did take away, you know, was that recovery was possible, and hearing all those different ways enabled me to learn and come, you know, and navigate that with my own higher power, my own journey, and what worked for me. And so I'm just super grateful for everyone that comes and shares their experience, strength, and hope, that is vulnerable enough to, you know, to share their journey. And, you know, I am appreciative of my recovery today. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Christy D. from Oregon. Up next is Joan Marie M., followed by Janice K. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning, everyone. Mo, thank you for your service. Joan Marie M., recovered in Nevada. Thank you, God. That miracle of healing. Wow. Powerful, powerful. What seems to be to me that I could never do it on my own. I tried so many times, but it was only the power and grace of God. And the grace is ability to do what I never could do before. That's grace, ability. I'm so grateful for that. And I just really want to say thank you to everyone that shares. I love the program. It really works, and that's the secret, it works. It does take work. It takes honesty, open-mindedness, and willing. And today I am, you know, and even when I feel that I'm not, I still am because of the grace of God. I'm so grateful for everyone that shares. I mean, if you're new or there's a little fear about sharing, just go for it. Just pour your heart out. Someone needs to hear what you have to say. It's important that we share. And I just thank you again. God bless everyone. And I will pass.
Hey, thank you, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Up next is Janice K., followed by Susan P. And after those two, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning, Mo. The introduction to the listed on the OA website says that we share our experience, strength, and hope. This has been my experience in the last couple of years with Step 3. I attend an open AA 11th Step meeting Monday through Friday, typically. It's open to all 12-step members, and everyone is able to contribute. What I'm going to talk about is the difference I see in Step 3 between programs. When I talk in this situation about the existence of doubt and fear in my life, or the need to become more firmly established, there are times when God is just right there with me, part of me, and we move through the day, and it's delightful. There are other times he's in the room acting as a coach, and there are times when I'm not listening at all, and I have to get back in accord. And when I deal with this in that particular meeting, I see the Al-Anons, the compulsive eaters, and the adult children heads nod. And the alcoholics look blank. There seems to be, and what brought this for me were the lines, no vicissitude has shaken it, and save for a few brief moments of temptation, great revulsion rears up. And this is the alcoholic response. But I know that when I hit fear, and given the situation, some of us may be outside the rooms, many of us may be revisiting fear. The first question becomes, who is bigger, God or my problems? Well, there are times when I think my problems are, but I need a reminder that God is. I think that in our program, sometimes we do levels in step three. The first one is, am I willing to try the steps? From there, God gets bigger. Hard problems need big answers. A couple of years ago, I hit a hard problem. I lost a substantial amount of income, and I went into a fear slide. The only way I could stop the slide was to make the decision, I will trust God. That is my step three decision. And it seems to be the step three decision of the alcoholics. I will trust God, whether it makes sense to me or not. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Janice K. from Oregon. Before I take Susan P., I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 56, the fifth paragraph down at the bottom of the page. Thus was our friend's cornerstone fixed in place. Ending at the top of page 57, God had restored his sanity. After Susan P., I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you are.
So when I read that, I have two reactions. The first is it's beautiful. It's a great promise. On the other hand, I myself personally have to be really careful about comparing myself to others and comparing my journey. This weekend, I attended a three-day workshop that was led by one of our visionaries, and it's so easy, you know, to compare my journey to others. And I really live by the saying, to compare is to despair. And I answer to God, and his journey, his will for my journey is all that I can be responsible for. And I try to be aware of the smaller, quieter God moments. For an example, I mean, yesterday, my abstinence was really clean, and not only clean, but it was easy. And that I've struggled also, like many people, for years and years and years in this program. And by the way, you know, I was raised in a culture where a normal portion is double what a real portion should be. You know, so sometimes, you know, it's easy to look at my absent portion and say, oh, my God, is that all there is? But then when I eat it and I'm satisfied and I feel good about myself because I follow my food plan, to me, every meal that I succeed in that is a God moment for me, because it is by the power of God that I'm in this place. And but I just really have to be very careful not to compare my journey to other journeys, to other people's journeys, because that way to me is despair. And for that, I'm glad I have that awareness, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Susan P. from Georgia. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience also. So if you've shared Thursday or please wait until tomorrow. So I will now take another lineup of names who would like to share on this paragraph.
I would, Mo. This is Larry G. from California.
Shanna C. Good morning, Larry. Was that Shanna?
Yes, Shanna C., Tennessee.
Okay, Shanna C., Larry G. Who was in there next? There was another one.
Sarah G. from Ontario.
I got Sarah.
Diane G. Canada.
Diane G. That's who I heard. Yeah. Okay. Sarah. R-A-R-G. So I have Larry G., Shanna C., Sarah G., and Diane G. Anyone else in this lineup?
Tony H. in Connecticut.
Tony H. All right. Let's stop there. Connecticut. And will everybody mute except Larry G. Hey, good morning, Larry.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Larry G. from California. I welcome all the new people on this call and those of us who have come back after a relapse, and I want to offer you my hand and encouragement and hope that you find get off the sidelines today and start working this simple program. My foundation was not built on a cornerstone of granite. My foundation was built on wood that was rotting out. You know, my wife and I, we hiked the trek through Spain and on the Camino. And there's some of the bridges that you go over are still standing. They're made by the Romans, and they have these hard granite cornerstones. That was not my case. I am a sick and dying compulsive eater. I was beyond hopeless. I did not want to live. I could not stop eating. And Sundays are a tough time for me, as it was yesterday. Sundays are a tough time. I would start eating, right around 9 o'clock, the first football game was on. I would stop eating before I go to bed and continue the next day. I want to tell you that, this is not to have put a feather in my cap or to get a medal, but I just celebrated my fifth Halloween, sober Halloween. And I have to tell you, my eating would begin there. And by today, if I was eating compulsively like I did prior to 2020, my eyes would be swollen. I would be waking up with a worse hangover, and I would have that frothy emotional appeal, and I would just get right back into eating. So God has put that cornerstone in place. God has relieved me of the obsession. He has restored me to insanity. And what does it mean? What do we mean by insanity? If you go to the doctor's opinion, insanity is the obsession. It's not doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Yes, our behavior is bizarre, but our insanity, my insanity, is the obsession. And the obsession has been lifted. I have not had the obsession going on 5 years. It's beyond my comprehension how that happened. How a guy like me and the family I came from and the way I used to eat so destructively, I can sit here today, just had breakfast, and I am not obsessing over the next meal. That is a gift beyond epic proportions. And I hope those of you on the call who have not experienced that yet, it's possible. If you listen to the people on this call, you'll hear the conviction and the passion in their voices. You don't have to see them. You'll hear how they also have been relieved of the obsession and living a meaningful, sane life. So that's my pitch today on the cornerstone, and I wish everybody a great sober day today. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Larry G. from California. Up next is Shanna C., followed by Sarah G. Good morning, Shanna.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Through God's grace and mercy and this program and strong sponsorship, the guidance, the steps, you name it, I can't make this stuff up. Circumstances made me willing to believe. You know, one thing I will kind of emphasize before I maybe start sharing is I know what's helpful for me when it comes to, I heard a lot of people talking about the fear of comparison and da da da. 567 in the big book, they call the spiritual experience, can be helpful in providing some clarification on what, you know, that we have a variety of spiritual experiences and all of that. So, anyway, I'll just leave that right there. Anybody who really wants to dig into that, if that, at least for me, has helped me with the whole, well, this one has this and this one experienced that. Why am I not feeling that way? Oh, my God, I'm actually enjoying my food. Does that mean it's a trigger food? You know, this kind of stuff. Because my mind can go really obsessive really quick. And I will try to fix things that aren't broken. Bottom line for me is I'm grateful that, you know, for me, the obsession has been removed. And when I'm on the line and I'm hearing these things, I'm reminded this program really is working in my life. Just back up and breathe. And then I just got back from a cruise and remained abstinent. And, you know, in the middle of it, it's like, oh, God, I'm so afraid of messing up. Oh, God, you know, what this kind of stuff, praying and, you know, asking God to, you know, to help me through each meal and stuff. And it's not a white-knuckling thing. I get to do that because I'm either going to pray and rely on God and follow the directions and be empowered to stay abstinent, or I'm going to do this thing in my own power and still be obsessed. So my mind and my thinking is either going to be directed on God and doing the right things, or it's going to be not doing the right things and I'm going to experience pain and suffering because that's just no middle ground for me. But anyway, I'm reminded this program works, that, that God is even present on cruise ships. And and he provided everything I needed. And I'm going to finish up with thank God for these steps and it works. And that's all I have.
All right. Shanna C. from Tennessee. Up next is Sarah G., followed by Diane G. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, can you hear me?
Very well.
Okay, hi. Thank you so much for your service, Mo. This is Sarah G. from Ontario, Canada. Something that hit me when I forgot who was sharing, that this man was lucky that, you know, he was tempted and then he was approached by people who, you know, had suffered through the same problem and they had recovered or solved it and, you know, they were able to help him is, I want to reframe it, not that he was lucky, but that he was blessed. Because lucky sounds like coincidence, happenstance. It just kind of, you know, found the four-leaf clover. Whereas blessed is like it's coming from a divine place. It's coming from God. It's not coming from things that just happen to happen all over the world. It's divinely ordained. And I think that we could say the same of all of us on this line. We're divinely here. We're blessed to be here. We're not lucky to have found this vision for you call or to have been guided to it. We're so blessed to have this community. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Oh, thank you very much. That's Sarah G. from Ontario, Canada. And up next will be Diane G., followed by Tony H. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Hi there, I'm Diane G., a grateful recovered compulsive reader from Saskatchewan, Canada. I'm trying to think how I can tie this paragraph into a podcast I recently heard by Pete B. Pete said, recovery is having a new way of thinking. I'd like to share with you how my thinking has changed since being recovered. Last Monday, our province held its elections. My 88-year-old neighbor asked if I would bring her to vote. She is a woman of great faith. Before we went into the polling station, I did something I would have never done as a compulsive reader. I took Dolores' hand and we prayed together that God would provide the right premier to make our province safe again. When I dropped her off, I could tell her she was very upset. And when I asked her what was wrong, she said she was really worried about the war in Israel and the elections in the USA. And one of the reasons why is because she came to Israel. She came to Canada from Israel 40 years ago. Previously, before I recovered, I would have joined her in her misery and gotten into discussion about what a terrible state our world is in. But I used the tools I learned in the program, and I said to her, do you think just for today you could turn off your TV and stay off social media and instead focus on the beautiful sunshine and watch and listen to the birds chirp? And for some reason, the song, It's a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong, came to my thoughts. So I brought up the lyrics on YouTube, and there we sat in my car singing, what a wonderful world. And I could see her calming right down. And I realized in that moment, that is being what recovered looks like. And another way that being recovered looks like to me is asking God every morning, how can I be your light in this dark world? And with that, I'd just like to wish everybody a wonderful OA day.
Thank you, Diane G., also from Canada. Before I take Tony H., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 56 in We Agnostics, down at the bottom of the page, fifth paragraph. Thus was our friend's cornerstone fixed in place, ends on the top of page 57. God had restored his sanity. And after Tony, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. This is Tony H. I'm calling from Connecticut. Compulsive overeater. And I absolutely love this paragraph. And I guess, what I'm sharing this morning is that this, let me see, how can I put this? So my learning to depend on and develop my relationship, my conscious companionship with my God, my higher power, is what helps me be able to maintain abstinence. And it's been a real struggle for me. So I started coming to OA back in March. A friend helped me look up what the my original date was. And I've been back and forth for various lengths of time with my abstinence up until today is day 17 for me. So it was up until the 18th of last month that I was going back and forth. And I got to the point where I realized I had to depend more on my higher power and not keep taking my control back, keep taking my decision-making back, all that kind of stuff. You know, that when cravings came and that they would come, I would need to pray and depend on my higher power to help me get through them and to do something else. And, I mean, for me, that was the bottom line. That was it. And that's what happened. And I just have to... I think before this happened, before I understood this paragraph this way, I was more focused on being able to on the promises of having gone through the steps, and so you know focusing on that, I wasn't able to stay abstinent in the present and now because I haven't gone through the steps yet, and. So I think one of the things that I had heard in a meeting was that it's important to control our magic magnifying mind, meaning that what I focus on gets bigger. And I can choose to focus on my higher power and the positive, just like the share that just happened before me. That was wonderful. Just learning to... Even, you know, with all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world, just learning to focus on the good things that are happening in my life. That's what I wanted to share. Thank you all for listening.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Tony H. Oh, wow. From Connecticut. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you share it on Thursday or Friday, please wait until tomorrow. And I believe I can take two more names.
Sherry H.M.
Mm-hmm. H.M. Anyone else? And I guess we'll just go with Sherry. Okay, Sherry, we'll let you take off. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. This is Sherry H.M., Sherry with a C from Washington State. I remember I would stuff myself, especially with sweet treats. And when I came in the program, you know, and I found out what people were doing, and I thought, that could never, ever be me. I could never do that. I can't give up those wonderful, you know, foods, but you know, forgetting they stabbed me in the back too. They're not really the best friends. So anyway, I kept going to meetings and, you know, worked on the steps. But first I met with a friend and she told me she'd been in, you know, OA with the Big Book for like, I don't know, 25 years, kept off 55 pounds or whatever. And that really tickled my ears. I'm like, ooh, you know. So anyway, but the thing is, after she shared her personal strength and hope, we had met on at Starbucks about 10 and a half years ago. And I turned out to have my last, what was a peppermint mocha. And just by using these tools and delivered it to God, I just, on the way home, I put my hands up, so to speak, still grabbed the steering wheel. Anyway, and I said, you know, my higher powers, God, I said, I can't do this. I can't. You're going to have to do it for me. And so I just never thought I would be here this way, but I don't miss the stuff one bit. The sweets and all that. The holidays, I was really stressed out the first year because I thought, oh, I love all that stuff. But I just kept, you know, doing the program, and I texted people whenever I got cravings and my sponsor and worked the steps. And it's really, you know, it's not willpower. It's can't power that leads me into the arms of a loving God. And so if I'm spiritually fit, then I don't have, you know, the urge at all. So it's absolutely a miracle. I never thought it could happen to me. And I wanted to share that for those who think, oh, yeah, that could never be me. So thanks so much for your service, Mo and everybody. And I pass.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Sherry H.M. from Washington. We have time for a two-minute share if somebody would like to take it.
Sarah N. in Washington.
All right, Sarah, it's yours.
Great. Thank you, Mo, for your service. Thank you, everyone, being on the line. My name is Sarah N. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater, one day at a time in this program. And so what I did is, with this paragraph, the first, I had to, like, reverse engineer it to some questions. And I said, well, what is my cornerstone? That's the thing, you know, I'm hearing I need to have a cornerstone, and the cornerstone of my recovery just for today is my own experience. And I will say, for today, I did not want to get out of bed, as is pretty regular. I did have a plan for today, and it did have some times associated with it. And as I set my alarm for 6:30, and I knew this meeting was at 7, I'm snoozing, as is my preference. And finally, I said, God, I don't want to get out of bed. I need the strength and the power to do it. Step 11, pray only for the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. So I just had God for strength to get out of bed and to do next right thing. And then I can't emphasize how much, and I know those of you who have these kind of little experiences can appreciate that, like, how huge that is, that all of a sudden, I get up. I just, like, sit up, and that is not me. I don't want to do it. I don't have the strength. And all of a sudden, my body's getting up, and I'm getting dressed, and I'm throwing on my sweatshirt, and it's stormy and rainy outside, and I need to walk a couple of dogs, and I didn't want to walk them. But I was like, you know, I've heard in this program, right, that it's not about the storm. It's learning to walk through the storm. So I took this opportunity to go ahead and go out into the storm with the earbuds in my ear, you know, with the, you know, dialed into the meeting, and walk for 15 minutes, you know, in the storm, and come back and hear all of your beautiful shares. And this gives me so much strength. This is my cornerstone just for today. And I'm so grateful to have been able to participate. And that's my time. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sarah N., and thank you all who shared this morning. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And let me get my notes up. I will now ask Ann SCH to read A Vision for You. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Mo, and everyone. My name is Ann SCH. I'm a recovered overeater, compulsive overeater in BC, Canada. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something that you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then...